Morning, I want to deal with the thought on getting on one accord. Getting on one accord. And we're going to look at a couple of scriptures along with the graphic that we gave you this morning to support or help our understanding on that. All right, our text is going to be coming from 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 10. It says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." And then we're going to look at Acts chapter number 2. The famous scripture that talks about the one accord. Acts chapter number 2, and start at verse number 1. It says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." Chapter number 1 and verse number 14 said, "These all continue with one accord in prayer and supplication, with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren." Now, when you look at these particular, these three passages, you're going to notice that it's a great challenge when you're dealing with people, trying to get people's minds to focus and everybody to be on the same mind. Now, Acts, the events in chapter number 1 of Acts happened before the events of chapter number 2. And the events in chapter number 2 in Acts happened before 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Now, I read it in the reverse order, but all of those events starting from 1 to chapter 2 to 1 Corinthians 1 all happened in chronological order. But you notice it was still the same challenge. Nothing was new. It was still the same challenge. It took work to get people to have what? One mind. And the unfortunate reality is, the more people you have, the harder you have to work at it. The more bodies you have, the harder you have to work at getting everybody's mind on the same page. Now, we have, as an example, the traffic pattern. If you look at your diagram there, or your graphics on your paper there, you see the overall goal when Jesus is talking about the one accord is to bring many into one. To bring many into one. Now, an example of that is looking at the traffic pattern. We all are familiar with this. When you have multiple lanes being brought down into one, and especially if the more cars you have, the more challenging that task becomes. So if you look at us, it's the same. The more bodies we have in service, the more challenging it is to bring everybody into what? Into one. Now, when you look at that traffic pattern there, there are questions that I want you to consider. I think y'all have them on the back of your paper there. It says, what impact does it have on the flow of traffic? What impact does bringing the many down to one have on the flow of traffic? Question number two is, what does this do to the emotions of the drivers? Have you ever been in traffic like that? And you see all of the lanes coming down to one. And you see the emotions of people. People are frustrated. People are irritated. If you ever want to see road rage, you get into a construction zone where everybody is in all of these lanes and they got to go down into one. No one wants to yield. No one wants to follow a pattern. Everybody wants to do it the way they want to do it. Everybody is in a hurry, is in a rush. Okay. Number three, does this change increase the risk of accidents. Yes. When you have many coming down into one, the risk of an accident increases because people are less likely to pay attention. You see, if you're in traffic there and people are waiting, they tend to start to pay attention to other things. They start to look at their phone. They start to look outside the window. They start to pay attention to everything. And before you know it, you have a little fender bender. You know, you see someone bump somebody and they say, "Oh, excuse me, I didn't mean to do that." Or somebody tries to get over and they didn't say, "I wasn't letting you over, but you saw my signal." And you end up side swiping. So all of these little things, they increase. Accidents increase as you're trying to bring people's minds into one. Now, the next question is, does this motivate drivers to look for alternative routes? Yes, it does. When they see that the traffic pattern is changing and it doesn't allow them to do what they want to do, and it's controlling them down to one lane, everyone seems to want to find another way to get off of the highway. Even if that way wasn't the preferred way, that change causes them to look for alternative routes. And if an alternative route is not there, they'll make up one. They'll drive in areas they're not supposed to drive in, on the shoulder, on the grass. They'll make their own way up, okay? The last question is, how much time is actually added to the trip from point A to point B when everyone has to merge from these multiple lanes into one lane? It's something to think about. Even look at the day of Pentecost now. It was 10 days that they were in there waiting. In chapter number 1 is when the prayer started. Chapter number 1 in verse number 14 is when the prayer started. And when the prayer started, the scripture says that they were all in one accord. But something happened between 1 and 9. The mind started changing. And then in verse number 10, you see, in day 10, chapter number 2 and 1, that's when the minds got back on track again. But it took work. It took work to get everybody's mind where it needed to be at, okay? Now, as you see there, beside number 1, I give you all just a little phrase or a little word to help you to deal with each one of those questions and to help you to understand the struggles that people have when they are trying to bring their mind into agreement with Jesus. Number 1 says, what impact does it have on the flow of traffic? You see, that demands submission. In order for the traffic to keep moving, somebody has to take the low road. Even if I am in the lane that all of the traffic is merging in, I have to be compassionate about those that are not in the right lane. And sometimes I have to be willing to stop and let the other person go. Now, you don't see that. But in order for things to flow, it demands what? Submission. Now, question number 2. Now, when you think about that, when it says demand submission, the Lord says to humble yourself, right? If you look at someone, go over to James, chapter number 4, I believe it is. That's going to be the one where it tells you to resist the devil, right? Or James 4. So go to 1 Peter. Let's look at 1 Peter 5 and 6 instead of James. James is a good one because it's telling you to humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Or humble yourselves and then resist the devil and he'll flee, right? That's what James is telling you. But look at 1 Peter chapter number 5 and verse number 6. What does it say there? Right. See, in other words, he'll move you forward in due time. In other words, you have to have that kind of an attitude when you're working with many. Everybody may not be on the same lane. Everybody may not be on the same page. But you have to be willing. You have to be willing to be submissive and humble and allow people to get where they need to be at in order for things to move what? Forward, right? Isn't that the truth? According to James, James said you got to do a whole lot of resisting of the devil. You have to. Devil be out there trying to distract you and discourage you, trying to knock you off course, try to make you pay attention to other people's shortcomings. And when you do that, that takes your focus off. I think that's in James chapter number what? 4 and verse number 10. Look at James 4 and 10 and also 4 and 7.
Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord.
Yes.
And he shall lift you up.
Right. In other words, move you forward. Verse number 7 says what?
Submit yourself therefore to God.
Yes. Resist the devil, right? Resist the devil and he'll do what?
Flee.
So in submission and humility, you've got to have a mind to resist the devil.
Right.
Resist all of the temptations that he tries to bring your way.
Mm-hmm.
All of the negative feelings. The negative attitudes that he tries to get you to get yourself involved in. That's if you want to move forward. That's if you want things to move in the right direction. Somebody's got to be willing to take the low road. Somebody's got to be willing to say, I don't know everything. I don't know the path that I should take. And I'm willing to allow you to do what? Lead. Huh? That's the truth. Willing you to allow you to lead. Now, who are you talking about allow to lead? We're talking about Jesus. You moving yourself out the way and letting Jesus lead you.
Right.
Letting Jesus lead you however he see fit to lead you.
Right.
It may be he may speak to you through a song. He may speak to you through someone's testimony. He may speak to you through a message of encouragement or instruction. He may speak to you. Definitely he'll speak to you through the word. But you have to move your thoughts and ideas out of the way so that the Lord can clearly talk to you, right? That's what David says, Lord, that you may be clear when you speak. That's right. You want the Lord to be clear when he speaks to you. All of that other noise, all of the other stuff messes up your hearing, messes up your ability to concentrate. And you got to block and move that stuff out of the way. That's the truth. And I want you to think about this thing when you're even talking about the concepts of everybody calling on Jesus in prayer service. In prayer service, we're here trying to get on one accord. Even in the praise service, even this morning, the praise service, you're trying to get your mind on one accord. And you think about the concept is when you stop paying attention to things that have nothing to do with Jesus. When you keep focusing on the stuff that irritates you, that rubs you wrong, that doesn't go the way you think it should go, that's a distraction. And you need to bring your mind back in. You need to bring your mind back in. You may say, well, the thing that I'm doing is not bothering anybody. I'm reading about Jesus or I'm doing this. Well, that's not the time to do that. This is the time to praise the Lord. Everybody's mind has to be what? On one accord. Well, I want to fix my tambourine or do whatever. I don't know. Whatever it is to try to take your mind off of the Lord. You need to bring your mind back into Jesus. You say, it sounds like somebody's off key. That ain't got nothing to do with anything. Bring your mind back into praising Jesus. If you ain't careful, you'll be sitting there looking at your feet, talking about one foot looks larger than the other. And that ain't have nothing to do with no praise. That has nothing to do with what you're doing. You need to bring all of the minds centered in on the Lord Jesus, right? That's right. If that's if you want the thing to move forward, if you say, well, Lord, I want to move into my blessing. I want to move into what you have in store for me. That means you've got to move yourself out the way. And you've got to put your mind on the Lord Jesus. Whether it's through praise, whether it's through studying the word. When you're hearing the morning message, you're studying the word. Y'all really realize that? Right now you are in the process of studying what thus saith the Lord. Who is teaching you? I am. And you should be sitting there in your mind trying to understand everything that is said. If you had a hard time in school doing that, guess what? You got to fight even harder right now to stay focused so that you can get what the Lord is trying to say to you, right? That's the truth. That is the truth. Trying to bring all minds in on one accord. Does it work? Amen. While Peter was preaching at the house of Cornelius, all the minds was on one accord. How do you know? Because the scripture said the Holy Ghost fell. While they were hearing the word. In other words, while they were studying the word. The Holy Ghost fell on them. They were filled with the Holy Ghost while the word was going forward. Meaning all of their minds were focused in on what was being said, right? That's the truth. That is the truth. Look at that second one where it says the emotions. You got to have a focused mind, right? Someone go over to Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 46. You got to have a focused mind. Acts 2 and 46. Yes. Yes. This wasn't a one-time occurrence. Everybody want to try to do their best to serve the Lord on Sunday. And then all the rest of the week becomes optional. And that's the truth. In their mind, they say, I got to do this because it's Sunday. But all the rest of the week, it's okay if I don't come this night. Lord knows my heart. Lord knows what I'm going through. See, you can't do this. You can't have that when you're trying to reach the one accord. Everybody's mind has to be on the same page. And this has got to be a daily practice. Isn't that the truth? You mean to tell me, Elder Scudder, even when there's no service and it's a Monday night and we don't have no prayer, we don't have no Bible study, I still got to have my mind on Jesus. I got to have my mind where the mind of the other sanctified at. That's the truth. You got to think on what are the saints doing right now. Saints are not going to no bars. Saints aren't cussing. Saints aren't drinking. Huh? Saints aren't listening to ungodly music. Saints ain't around people that they should not be around. Saints have their minds on the Lord Jesus. They're praising the Lord Jesus. They may be somewhere studying or writing something about the goodness of Jesus or reading something about the goodness of Jesus. They may be somewhere praying, asking the Lord to bless this one and bless that one. That's when everybody's mind is on one accord. Huh? That's the truth. You've got to be willing to deny yourself. When you're trying to get your mind on one accord, you got to be willing to deny yourself. You got to say, oh, no, I got to go do this and I got to go do that. I got this plan, but you got to say, no, Jesus must be first. Elder Scott, I'm tired. No, Jesus must be first. You got to say that within yourself. You've got to deny all of these emotions and feelings that are not like Jesus and say, Jesus must be first. Be first where? In my life. I need to show the Lord what he means to me. I need to prove that he means more to me than everything else, right? That's the truth. That's the truth. Got to move all that stuff out of the way. As the scripture says, this has to be a daily practice. Huh? Read a little bit more. Breaking bread. In other words, saints were hanging out with one another. Huh? Saints, shame on you if you're hanging out with your family that's not saved more than you're hanging out with the saints. Something's not adding up. Something's not adding up when you're choosing to associate yourself with someone that is not walking in agreement with the household of faith. Huh? Come on, that's the truth. The place where the Lord has put you to serve him. That's who you should be hanging with. You shouldn't be looking for other folk. But you should be breaking bread together with the saints. How many times the Lord say this was a daily practice? Huh? There must be daily fellowship. You must seize the moment to be with the saints wherever they are at. You can't find yourself too busy to be with the saints. That's the truth. You say, well, this guy, I ain't got no time. Shame on you. You may not have time for the rapture. Huh? And that'd be a sad thing when the Lord look at you and say, since you have no time for me, I have no time for you. Huh? But you must prove that you want to be with Jesus every single day, right? That's the truth. Break bread together with the saints. Huh? What else?
And it says to eat with their meat
with gladness. Yeah, saints should be glad to be with one another. Huh? You don't want no miserable person, not a saint, to be with the group. You say, no. You got a miserable attitude, get a miserable mind frame. You need to pray. You need to pray and resist that devil that's causing you to feel grumpy and unhappy about being with the saints. You need to ask the Lord to help you to get rid of that mind frame that wants to be in a hurry to get away from the saints. That's the truth. Notice your behaviors. Notice your attitudes. When the service is over, are you the first one out the door? Is your mind frame, I got to go, I got to get out of here? What are you trying to say? Huh? You're not happy being with the saints. Huh? You say, Elder Scudder, that's not the truth, but that's what your behavior say. Your behavior say you got something more important to do than being with the saints. Huh? Scripture says that there was gladness amongst the saints when they were together. It wasn't an unhappy time. They were glad to be together, right? That's right. Singleness, what does it say? Of the heart. Huh? What were they doing? Praising Jesus. Testimony service was over. They were still praising Jesus. Service has been dismissed. Saints are still praising Jesus. Got a song of praise ringing in their heart. Walking the hallway, still praising the Lord. Walking to their cars, praising the Lord Jesus. When they get in the car, the music come on. Still praising the Lord Jesus. Go inside the house. Praise should still be inside of your heart. Huh? Praise should be in you. The Lord's praise. Not the praises of men, but the Lord's praise, right? That's why you got to hang around the saints. Because the saints praise the name of Jesus. World ain't got no mind to praise Jesus. World ain't got no mind to listen to music that's talking about Jesus. That's why you can't hang around the world. You need to leave the world alone. When you hang around the world and then you try to come in with the saints, you're going to cause a traffic jam. Huh? You're the one that's causing the traffic jam. You're messing up the flow of the service. Why? Because your mind ain't on Jesus, right? And we got to work harder to bring your mind where it needs to be at. Huh? Why do I have to work harder? Because you've been doing something you have no business doing. And that beat, that music, that melody, that conversation is still in your brain, right? That's the truth. And in order for us to get on one accord, we gotta help you get your mind straight. Huh? Gotta help you get your mind straight. You ain't never wonder when the teacher's trying to teach the classroom, got all them little bodies in there, and she's trying to go over something simple. Everybody say A. And when she look around the room, it's just one student got his eyes all up in the sky, fidgeting around. She said, everybody, say A. And for a whole half hour, she's trying to get the whole classroom to say one letter. And by the time half hour was over, she's accomplished one thing where everybody says A. Now, they got 26 letters, I think, in the alphabet. Huh? I think it's 26, isn't it? So now she's only accomplished one thing in a half hour. She still ain't got the letter B yet. Why? Because she had to bring all of those minds into what? Now just imagine if she had everybody on one accord when she said, let's start this thing called ABC. Them 26 letters would have been finished in 26 seconds. Huh? That's the same thing with you and I. It don't take long to receive the Holy Ghost. The thing that delays Jesus from coming in is people's minds are not on the Lord. Your mind ain't on Jesus. It's on other stuff. And I'm here to tell you need to wake up out of sleep and get your mind on Jesus, right? So that we can move forward. Huh? So that the Holy Ghost can come on in and have its way inside of us. Huh? Isn't that the truth? Get on one accord, right? Get on one accord. Stop being divisive. Huh? Stop being divisive in your mind, in your thinking, in your behaviors. Stop being divisive. In other words, having a divided mind. Your mind is over there when it needs to be over here. Huh? Oh, that's the truth. That's the truth, saints. You can't get nothing done. You can't get anything accomplished when your mind is all over the place. Everybody's mind has to be where? On one accord. Huh? That's the truth. It's an amazing thing. As I look about you, brother, when you're working on that trash truck, you notice it's not a team of 20 on that trash truck. You only got two or three people throwing trash. And it's hard to get the job done, isn't it? And it don't take much. You got two people. If everybody throws the trash like they were supposed to, it'll get done quickly. But when you got somebody over here thinking, Somebody over here dragging their feet, want to talk to this one, talk to that one. I don't feel like throwing no trash today. I'm tired. My leg is thirsty. I'm thirsty. Can we get a break? Hey, how you doing? I'm doing all right. Girl, you looking real good. Come on, give me your number. All of this foolishness, huh? We can't get the job done, huh? And how many people is it? It's only two. Now, imagine if you got 5 or 10 of them trying to do the same thing. Everybody got their own attitude. I'm going to do what I want, when I want, for how long I want to. You got a complete traffic jam, right? And the one writer said, these things ought not to be. Huh? Come on, because we should be able to flow. Huh? We should be able to get up this street real quick. Huh? If everybody hustles like they're supposed to. Huh? Moves from one stop to the next. The truck ain't got to stop. The man ain't got to put his foot on the brake. If everybody doing what they supposed to. Huh? Say, the other fella got more trash than you. You get over there real quick. You only got one bag. The other guy got 5. You throw your one on. You don't look back and say, oh, I only had one. And you moving slow. That ain't moving traffic forward. You jump over there to help them. Huh? Singleness of mind. Why? Because we got to work together to get up the street, right? Does that make sense? Now I use you as an example because I'm sure you can relate with that. Huh? And it's the truth. Everybody say, oh, I finished my work. I ain't got nothing else to do. But you know the next fella got more stuff to do. Well, team can't go home till everybody gets the stuff done, right? So it's only common sense to get over there and help them, right? But that ain't my job. See, you're causing division. Huh? We can't get nothing done when you're causing division, right? Talking about stuff you ain't got no business talking about. Instead of just doing what? Resisting that devil. Huh? Resisting that wrong thought, that wrong attitude. Huh? And humbling yourself. Huh? Being submissive to the task that is at hand. Huh? We say, come on, saints, let's draw our minds in. Let's everybody stand and sing our opening selection. I believe God. Huh? Come on. Sometimes you got 5, 3, or 4 in the sanctuary. Huh? But then you got more on the outside of the sanctuary than you got on the inside. We can't be on one accord. Why? Because when it's time to sing, I believe God. Huh? And everybody in here is not able to do that because they're not in here, right? Huh? Isn't that true? You got work to do. And some people say it was time to sing. Sometimes you may be in here and may not even open up your mouth. Say it's time to sing, I believe God. And you will just be sitting there clapping. Well, I thought we said sing, I believe God. Well, I'm here. All right. You're a divisive spirit. Huh? Can't get the job done. We can't move forward until everybody is what? Huh? Does that make sense? We got to fight to get on what? One accord. We got to fight to bring our minds in, don't we? Huh? I know it is hard work, but it's the truth. You got to fight to get your mind on Jesus. You got to fight to get your mind on one accord, right? That's the truth. Come on. Look at the next one. It says, does it change or increase the risk of accidents? You might be willing to be a good disciple of Jesus. You got to be willing to follow Jesus. Look at Mark chapter number 8 and verse number 34. Mark 8 and 34.
Mark 8 and 34.
Yes.
It reads, and when he had called the people unto him, his
yes.
disciples,
yes.
He said unto them, whosoever will come after me.
Yeah, whoever's going. That's when you're following Jesus. When you're a disciple, you're coming and following after Jesus. Anyone that want to go follow after Jesus has to be willing to do what? You got to be willing to deny himself. You got to be willing to take up his cross and do what? Follow after Jesus. Huh? You won't cause accidents in your life. When you learn how to do what? Deny yourself. Take up what? Whose cross? Huh? Take up your cross. My cross. And learn to do what? Just follow after Jesus. Follow after him hard. Huh? Follow after Jesus with some passion. With some enthusiasm. With a sense of urgency. Right? That's the truth. Lest he leaves you behind. You don't want the Lord to keep on moving. And because you took a pit stop, he moved on and he's nowhere to be seen. Huh? All because you struggled to do what? Keep up with him. Huh? You don't want that, do you? Come on. You don't want to struggle to keep up with Jesus. Huh? Someone go over to Ecclesiastes 9, 11 through 12. Ecclesiastes 9, 11 through 12. Yes. Yes.
The race
is not given to the swift,
nor the battle to
the strong.
Neither bread to the wise,
nor riches to men of understanding.
Nor favor to men of skill.
Uh-huh.
But time and chance happeneth to them all.
What happens to everybody? Come on, time. That's what folk don't want to spend with Jesus. They don't want to spend no time with the Lord. Even today, we haven't even been in here an hour. And I'm looking at several of your eyes. They're a little heavy, aren't they? Huh? You're struggling to stay up. Huh? For what reason? I don't know. I don't know what you could have been doing that's hard to keep your eyes up. Huh? When all the Lord is asking you for is how much? Just a little bit of time. He said, you can't watch with me for how long? 1 hour. Out of your busy day. He only asked for you for how long?
1 hour. Thank you, Jesus.
Huh? I guarantee you won't be struggling to keep your eyes open after we get out of service. None of you will go and take a nap. None of you. You'll have no problem keeping your eyes open after you get out of here. Huh? So who is it that you think is trying to keep your eyes heavy? Huh? You don't think the devil, you think because you're in here, you safe from Satan's attack? Huh? You busy focusing on folk, you say, well, such and such ain't even here this morning. But you here, and you still struggling to keep your eyes open. Huh? Fella, you talking about ain't here, maybe got their face in the book. Huh? They may be on their knees somewhere repenting. Huh? Asking the Lord for help. And where you at? You're in the presence of Jesus. Huh? And you're struggling to keep your eyes open, right? Huh? You need to resist the devil. Huh? Put up some resistance to the devil. And he will do what? He'll flee from you. But if he sees this working, why stop? Huh? If he sees this working, why stop? And you're going to be a victim rather than a victor. Huh? Why? Because the Lord's got his eyes on you. Huh? He's got his eyes on you. Huh? Does that make sense? That makes sense. Time. Time tells the story, saints. Time tells the story. Next question says you're looking for an alternative route. But I'm telling you, there's only one way to be saved. Acts chapter number 4:12 says neither. Is there salvation in what? Any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we what? There's only one way to be saved. Huh? You can't look for another way. There's only one way to do this. Huh? You got to humble yourself before the mighty hand of Jesus. You got to be willing to submit yourself to him. Huh? You got to open up your mouth wide. You got to call on Jesus by his name. Huh? You got to put your mind on Jesus. Why are you calling on Jesus? Why? Because that's the only way you can be saved. Lord told you, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. One way to be saved, right? That's the truth. That's the truth. There's that one way, salvation. Last question says, how much time is added to my trip? Huh? We normally get out around now. How much more time are we going to be in here studying what thus saith the Lord? I'm encouraging you to just be patient. Be patient and wait. waiting to hear what thus saith the Lord to who? To you. Psalms chapter number 27 and verse number 14. Psalms 27 and 14. Be patient. Huh? Be patient. Wait on the Lord. And be of what? Good courage. He shall do what? The Lord is going to strengthen you. If you just learn how to do what? If you just learn how to wait, the Lord will strengthen you. If you just learn how to be patient. One writer said, let patience have her perfect way. Huh? Just learn how to wait on Jesus. And the Lord is going to give you all the strength that you need. You ain't got to pray for strength. All you need to do is learn how to do what? Wait. Huh? You learn how to wait, the Lord will do his part. He says if you wait, he will strengthen your heart, right? If you learn how to wait on Jesus, right? Stop trying to do it yourself and wait on Jesus, right? That's the truth. What am I going to do while I'm waiting? You're going to call on him. I'm going to just sit right there and I'm going to call on Jesus. Huh? That's the truth. He will come. He'll come quickly. He'll come, one writer said, in Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 1, when they were on one accord, and this scripture says, and suddenly there came a sound. Now that let me know if you learn how to just do what? Wait and do what you're supposed to do. Wait and call on Jesus. Wait and open up your mouth and say Jesus. Wait and put your mind on Jesus. If you just do your part, verse number 2 will come to pass. Huh? When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place and one accord. Verse number 2 says, and suddenly, verse number 2 will come to pass when you do your part, right? When you do your part, verse number 2 will come to pass. Huh? Now let's go back over to your papers really quick. One of the greatest deceptions in traveling, that's what you're doing, you're journeying, you're on a journey. You're on a journey in life trying to get to Jesus. One of the greatest deceptions in traveling on this road of life is the false control that a person has because they are in a vehicle. Huh? Come on, meaning what? Because your soul is in the body and you got all of these free wheels in this body, you are under the false impression that you are in control. Huh? You take your medicine. You do your exercise. You do all of these things. Thinking that you are in control. You are not. Huh? Lord says, I gave you the breath. And when I take the breath away from you, that's it. Huh? In him we live, move, and have our being, right? You are in that body because Jesus put you in there. And one day he's going to call you out of that body, right? He says, I'm going to call and you're going to answer, right? He's going to snatch you out your vehicle, right? He's going to snatch you out of your vehicle. The vehicle of your body. Huh? You play games in that body if you want to. Lord going to snatch you right on out of it. Huh? He makes you think because you're young, you got a long life ahead of you. Huh? That's the biggest lie anybody ever told somebody. Why? Because you don't know the end of your days. You that just because you are here and you see other folk in their 80s and 40s, does that not mean that that is going to be you? Lord could cut you right off in your youth. Huh? He's giving you an appointed time to exist here on this earth. Jesus said, I have appointed your bounds and you cannot pass. Huh? Jesus said that, right? That's the truth. That's the truth. That's one of those things you think. Because you're in this body, what do you say? You say, I can go anywhere. I can go on any road. Huh? I can go at any speed. Huh? Why? Because I am in control. But the reality is the designer of the road controls. Huh? Who's the designer of the road? Jesus. Huh? There's two paths. There's a path that leads to life and a path that leads to death. Huh? What road are you on, right? Huh? What road are you on? He says, enter ye in at the straight gate. Why? Because wide is the gate
Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many shall be on that road, right? But straight is the gate. Narrow is the way that leads to life, and few shall be that find it, right? Two paths. Huh? Jesus is the designer of this road. Huh? Don't let the patterns of this earth fool you. Huh? Come on, because you got all of these many different ways to go to X, Y, and Z. That is not representative of life. There is only two ways and two places, right? Either you're on the road with Jesus or you're on the path of death, right? Isn't that something? Either you're on the road with Jesus or you're on the path of death. Who set this up like this, Jesus? Huh? He's the designer of the road. Oh, yes, he is, saints. Huh? In this thing, you say, I can go anywhere. You say, where you go. You may see your destination can be reached by a straight line, but the street takes you there in a roundabout manner. Isn't that something? Huh? If we stood on the top of the building and there was a clear path to your house, because you're the closest one that lives over here, if there were no trees, we could say, oh, all we got to do is go straight over there to Deacon James' house. Huh? That's a straight road, isn't it? But is the road designed like that? No. It takes you down here, makes you turn here, makes you go here, and swirl all around here, and then go down here, and then go down. Man, it don't make sense, right? That lets you know you're not in control, right? Huh? You're not in control. Look at John chapter number 14, 2 through 6. The rapture is right in front of us. The ability to go back with Jesus is right in our view. All we got to be willing to do is just follow Jesus. Huh? He may take us there in what seems to be in a roundabout way. But sure enough, he knows the path that I should take. Huh? Look at the saints when they left out of Egypt. Huh? The Lord had a plan. What plan did he have? To kill off that whole generation. Why? Because he said, I swear by my wrath, they are not going to get in. Huh? But if you wanted to get into the promised land, you had to be willing to go the journey. Huh? Just like Joshua and Caleb. Huh? They came out of Egypt, but they had a mind to keep focus on the promised land. And during that 40 years, while Jesus killed that whole generation, they did not murmur. They did not complain. All they did is follow. Huh? All they did was follow, right? Huh? And let me know you got to have that kind of mind. No matter how many dips the Lord takes me in. Huh? I'm talking about life. No matter how many times I have to maneuver to get here and get there, stick with Jesus, right? Why I gotta stick with Jesus? Because he says, I go away to prepare a place for you. Huh? Is that what John 14 and 2 says? Huh? What does 14 and 2 say? John 14 and 2.
John 14 and 2.
Yes. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you this. Huh? Lord told us this because it's the truth. He's telling us there's a place prepared for you. Why? Because it's the truth. You just got to believe Jesus, right? Read a little bit more. I go. What does the Lord say? I go to do what? In other words, the Lord says, I left this earth to go to prepare a place for who? Do you want it? Huh? You got to keep that desire down inside of you. You got to know the Lord left this earth to go to prepare something for who? Even though you cannot see it, you got to believe that the Lord's waiting for you. Huh? The place is getting fixed and prepared just for you. And you got to stay put till he come, right? You got to stay put till the Lord come. Huh? I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will. Huh? That's confidence. That's confidence. I don't have to ask nobody, is Jesus coming? Because the Lord says, I will come again. Huh? Do y'all believe that? You better not let the devil take that out of your mind. The Lord will come again. Now, when he comes, will he find you believing in him? He said, when I come, will I find faith? Huh?
He says, I'm going to prepare the place. But if I go and prepare the place for you, I will come again. And receive you to who? Unto myself. That where I am. Huh? That let me know you can't let nobody take you off the path. Huh? Say you may have met somebody on the side of the road that has no mind to travel. How you travel. I'm telling you better leave them right where you met them. Why? Because they will take you off of course. They will take you off of your track. They will cause an accident, right? They're going to mess up your flow. Huh? They don't want to go with Jesus. And if they don't want to go with Jesus, where they want to go at then? The designer of the road said there's only two. Huh? Say, I don't want to go to your church. Well, there's only two places. Huh? If you ain't following me and I'm following Jesus, you're telling me you want to go to hell then. Huh? Now, I would be a fool if I followed behind you. Because what am I telling Jesus? Huh? But no, Lord, I'm here. And Lord said, no, you ain't. Your body is here, but your mind is not. Huh? That's the truth. And as long as we pay attention to you, we are divided. Why? Because your mind ain't where it need to be at. And we need to stop paying attention to you. And we need to focus on the Lord. And ask the Lord to cut you off. Huh? The Lord is the husband. He's the husbandman of the vine. He said if the branch ain't bearing no fruit, it needs to be cut off. The Lord said that. Huh? It need to be cut off. Right? That's the truth. Say, Elder Scudder, you want me to be? I don't want you to do nothing but follow behind Jesus. I'm telling you, you got to put your mind on the Lord, though. Does that make sense? All right, it makes sense. What verses did you stop at? 6? You should have got down to 6. All right. Now, okay, go to 6.
That where I am, you may be
also. Yes.
Whither I go, you know the way,
though.
Thomas said unto him,
show us the way.
We know not whither you
go. We don't know where you're going.
How can we know the way?
Unless,
Jesus said unto them,
I am the way. I am the truth. Mm-hmm. I am the life, right?
No man.
Nobody can get to Jesus unless you come through Jesus.
Right.
He say, I am the door. There will be folk that try to climb up another kind of way. But the same are what? Thieves and robbers. You don't want to follow behind no thief. You don't want to follow behind no robber. Huh? That's the truth. That's the truth. You don't want to follow behind that kind of person. Now the next one, let's look at the next question. What path you take? See, the design of the road controls that. You can see your destination, but there is no street to get there. Didn't I just tell you all? If we took all the trees and moved all the homes and all the buildings, we could clearly see Deacon James's house. Huh? But there is what? No street. Huh? To get to his house, right? There's no street to get there unless you go here first. You got to go down to this street first and then turn left. And then the left turn takes you down all the way till you can't go no more. And then you can only turn what? Right. Huh? But that don't seem like it's getting us there because it's taking us further away, right? Huh? The designer of the road has controlled it like this. Isn't that something? Something for you to think about. And that's the first thing people say when they come over in the holiness. Huh? They see, oh, rapture right before me. Why are you telling me I got to fast and pray? Fast and prayer seems like an roundabout way. Huh? It seems like it's taking me off course. It is. is taking you off of your course. Huh? Huh? Come on. Somebody go get Proverbs 16 and 25. And someone else get Proverbs 14 and 14. I didn't intend to go as long as I did. This is a good little long lesson. But we got to get our minds straight. I'm sorry. We got to get our minds straight. Proverbs 16 and 25. And someone get 14 and 14. Proverbs 14 and 14.
15:25.
Yes.
Your way seems right.
But the end of your way are the ways of death. Huh? So that lets me know when you got to, I'm going to do it the way I want to do it. You're on the broad road. You're not on the straight and the narrow. You're on the broad road. You're on the broad road skipping and whistling about Jesus. And don't even know you're on the path to what? So somebody get 14 and 14.
Backslider.
Ain't that something? Do you want to be a backslider?
Nope.
I want to move forward. Huh? But the backslider is filled in heart with his what? His own ways, right? Y'all got that? Huh? Backslider is filled in heart with his what? Ain't that something? The backslider. You don't want to be that kind of person. You want to move forward. Huh? Seem like a backsliding spirit. Huh? It's trying to creep in. Huh? Oh, yeah. Doing things we didn't used to do. Saying things we didn't used to say. Looking ways we didn't used to look. And we're trying to say it's okay. Huh? No, it is not. It is not like Jesus. Huh? It is not like Jesus, right? That's the truth. Someone go over to Isaiah 53 and 6. And then 56 and 11. I'm giving you a lot because I don't want you to say I said it.
53 and 6. All we like sheep
have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Isn't that something? Huh? We're doing things the way we want to do it. We got that attitude. Sister say, you should dress like this. I ain't going to dress like that. I'm going to do it the way I want to do it. Brother say, you shouldn't dress like that. Well, and they don't can't tell me, you just want me to look old. You don't want me to look like, nah, this is what the Lord wants you to do. He wants you to look decent and orderly, right? Huh? That's the truth. Huh? You got your own kind of way. You on your own little path. But I'm telling you, it's the broad way. And it leads to what? Come on, what is the next one I told you? 56 and what? 11.
56 and 11. Yay, they are greedy dogs.
Oh, what are they? You got a greedy attitude. Huh? Greedy attitude. You got a hoarding spirit. Huh? You just don't want to let go. You got more than you actually need, right? And when you see someone else in need, you don't want to give it to them. You want to charge them. Isn't that sad? You want to charge them. Because you are a greedy dog. Huh? I didn't say it. You are a greedy dog. Read a little bit more. You know that you got a dog. When a dog eats more than he can hold, he vomits. Because he's what? He's greedy. He's already full. Huh? He don't need nothing else to eat. He's not hungry, but he's got bigger. His belly is too, his eyes is too big for his stomach. Isn't that something? We the same ways. Our bellies weren't designed to look the way it looked. We done stretched them things to capacity. Huh? Got stretch marks. What are stretch marks? Markings that you are bigger than what you should be. Huh? I got them. Huh? It's reminding me, your body wasn't designed to be that size. You done stretched it more than it was intended to. Why? Because my eyes were bigger than my belly. Huh? Huh?
I ate more than I really needed, right? Have you been there? Amen. That's the truth. Read a little bit more. Greedy dogs. What's the problem with these folks? That's the truth. You know somebody like this? I don't care how much you do, they still ain't satisfied. Huh? Hang up this shelf. You hang it up, they still ain't happy. Well, I ain't want you to hang up the just one of them. Hang up five of them. All right? Hang it up all five. Well, once you hang them up, ain't you going to put something on it? Well, put the stuff on it that you want to put on it. Well, that's done. One wall is done. You got four more other walls to do. See? You're never satisfied. And once we finish the four other walls, you come back to the shelf. I don't want them shelves no more. You're never satisfied. Is that the truth? We got a new sofa coming. Lord, help us to stay in prayer. Because I don't want to get it for a while and say I want something else. Because that's foolish. There's nothing. The only reason I'm getting this one is because the other ones we got is worn out. That's true. That's the only reason why I'm getting these. Because the other ones is worn out. That's the people say, well, y'all just getting because we have a need. Right. Sometimes my sofas is old and almost. I won't tell you how old they are, but they old. So don't think because you see, say, oh, y'all got new furniture. Well, we needed it. Huh? Right. You need it. When you get stuff because you need it. Right. Yes. Huh? I don't want to be foolish because I'm so sick of seeing the same design that I got to go buy something else. The eyes of a man are what? Huh? And I'm only being foolish. Because I think because I changed the living room 20 different times, 20 different ways, eventually I'm going to find satisfaction. Huh? That's not true. You will never. Huh? Do y'all understand that fact? Do you all, don't lie to yourself. You will never be what? As Darian. Huh? Huh? I think him and Jackie were talking about shoes the other day. Nothing wrong with them, but I'm just telling you. You'll never be satisfied. You go buy one, say, you be lying to yourself. I just get this one pair, I'm going to be happy. Then the next time you get some money, you see, ooh, there go another pair of shoes. Well, I just got to have that. Well, I don't have that color. See, you never will be satisfied. Before you know it, you got enough shoes to build a house. Jesus. That don't matter. Does that add up? So your shoes should be holding your clothes. You ain't got no room to store no clothes. Because the closet done took up with holding your shoes. Don't you realize there's more parts of your body than your feet? Closet is supposed to hold all of the garments for your body, not just for your feet. But then when you got shoes going way up to the top of the closet, then you have nerve to say, I ain't got no more closet space. No, dummy. You got plenty of closet space. You don't use it up with stuff for your feet. I ain't calling y'all no dummies. So don't say that. I'm just telling you, the thought process. You'll say you don't have enough. When you realize, no, I got plenty. Right. I've chosen to build it up with stuff just for my what? Don't talk about the dresser drawers. I don't got so many undergarments. I can't even fit them in a dresser drawer. My wife would tell you I got a big old 50-gallon tote that I had to put my underclothes in. Now ask me why, I have no idea. I guess I think a storm is coming and I'm going to run out of underclothes. Huh? But guess what I'll do? I'm going to tell you what I'll do. I'll still go to the store and look, say, ooh, I need to get some more t-shirts. It don't add up, do it? Don't add up. Because the rule from the Lord Jesus is the eyes of a man are never satisfied, right? Does that make sense?
Sister Scudder told me, keep on moving, right? I'm just teasing you, baby girl. She didn't say that. I'm just teasing. Greedy dogs. What else?
Which can never have enough. And they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way.
What do we look to?
Our own way. Everyone for his gain.
What does he look for?
His gain from his court.
Can't be on the same road with Jesus thinking like that. We got work to do, right? Can't be on the road with Jesus thinking like that. Now the last one, I'm going to get ready to stop. The last one says, what speed you can travel. Because you say within yourself, I can go as fast as I want to. I can go any speed I want to. My car can go 100 miles per hour. But these old stupid curves slow me down. This hill is hard to climb. This dip or bump in the road forces me to slow down. See, when you think you in control, you run zippity-doo-dah down the street till you get to going so fast you can't slow down. You ever seen these fences got holes all in them and these brick walls that is all torn down? I'm trying to tell you, because it was somebody driving as fast as they thought they could go. And they ran into it. Ran right into it, and it slowed them right down. Slowed them right on down. Look at the fellow you saw on the day. As soon as we were coming to church, the man, his car, I don't know what he hit, but whatever he hit, it wasn't intended for him to keep on moving. But in his mind, he could still go. And he riding on the street on a rim. Now, your car shouldn't be making all of that noise. Now, he bringing attention to himself. Everybody knows something is wrong. Does that make sense? But this is when you got that attitude. I can go as fast as I want to go. Right? Come on. Think about that, saints. You don't want to have that kind of mind frame. Go over to Jeremiah. Chapter number 32, 38 through 40. And I'm going to let y'all go.
They shall be my people.
Yes. Whose people are we? We belong to the Lord Jesus, saints. We are his people, right? And Jesus promised that he would be our God. Now, don't go try to make the devil take the place of Jesus. If you do that, you're no different than what Corinthians says. The God of this world has blinded your minds. He doesn't want you to see that Jesus Christ is God. He doesn't want you to follow behind Jesus. He doesn't want you to treat Jesus like he's God. That's the dangers what Kirsten is going to have when she's in school. Because she's going to be around a whole bunch of people that think they know a whole lot of stuff. All of these philosophies and ideas. People just will be having, just be sitting in the grass, pondering in their own mind. And they realize they really don't know nothing. You don't know nothing if you don't know who Jesus is. Then you go tell them, well, I serve Jesus. You'll follow behind that man-made religion. And then they go try to tell you the history of this quote-unquote faith. No, they don't know the history of this faith. Yes, I do. No, you don't. Because the scripture says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. That's the history of this faith, right? That's the truth. That's the truth, saints. This didn't belong. This didn't start with some man. Do y'all understand that? This is not a white man's doctrine. This did not start with some man. This teaching started with God himself. He is the creator, right? That's the truth. Does that make sense? We are his people. I'm glad I believe that. I look at these folk as fools when they try to make you think you evolved from some ape. Because the ape got five fingers and got a head and looked like a man. They want you to think that that's who you are. They're trying to belittle your intelligence.
when the Lord already told you, I formed you from the dust of the ground. I breathed into you the breath of life, right? And you became a what? A living. That's what Jesus said, right? Jesus said, I didn't evolve you from no ape. Huh? But that's what you're going, that's what they're going to try to put in your mind. Huh? You're going to spend all that money in school for them to try to brainwash you to not believe that Jesus made you. Huh? Go on and try to write a paper when you take that philosophy class and say Jesus is real. That teacher give you a big fat F. But you better just take that F and be with gladness. Tell him you are not going to persuade me. Huh? So how can you prove that Jesus is real? Because I can feel him in the wind. Huh? I feel him in my chest. Huh? Y'all feel Jesus in your chest? I feel him in my chest. He's the one that keeps my heart moving, right? I feel Jesus in my chest, right? That ain't me doing this. Feel him when I go. He give me that breath, right? Huh? How can you know he's real? Because I know he's real. Because I can't do none of this by myself, right? That's the truth, saints. But they're going to try to brainwash you. Huh? Yeah, they will. They're going to try to make you become a people of a God that didn't make you. Huh? Satan is a God that did not make you. Huh? That's why Jesus called him the God of this world. He is a God that did not make you. But you got to say within yourself, I want to be a people of the God that made me. Who made you? Jesus made me, right? One writer says, we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Right? It is he that have what? Made us. And not we ourselves, right? What does the next verse say?
39.
See, if we move ourselves out of the way, the Lord will do the work. Some people think you got to make a, you got to be the one that creates the one accord. No. Jesus knows how to create the oneness of mind. If we just move ourselves out of the way. What did the writer say there? The Lord says, I will give you. I'll give you one heart. If you move yourself out the way, the Lord will give you the kind of heart that you need. The kind of heart that you need to move forward, right? I'll give you what?
One heart.
I'll give you one heart and one way. Didn't I tell you all, I don't care how many members we have, we still only have how many pastors?
One.
Isn't that something? I don't care how many churches we get, we're still only going to have one senior pastor. We can't go and be all roguish over here and say, we're going to do what we want to do over on our little church. And then we'll just let Elder Scudder think that we're going to follow behind him. Nah, you can't do that. Huh? That's not how it works. Now, you can't say the Lord is giving you the mind to do that. Lord said, I'll give you what? One heart? And how many ways? One way. Huh? Keep going. What? So all of this is to teach us how to respect Jesus, right? Keep going.
For the good of them and of their children.
Isn't that something? Don't you want this salvation not just to affect your generation? I want this blessing to go to my children. Huh? And also what? My grandchildren. Huh? That's why it's so important you think about the concept. You're trying to model the behavior before him. Right? You want to teach him to call on Jesus. Right? Encourage him when the praise go forward. Yeah, praise him. Praise Jesus. Why? Because you wanted to go to that generation. Why? Because after you dead and gone, you still want someone that you knew to still be praising Jesus, don't you? You don't want this name to die down, do you? Not in my family. I want the name to continue on. After I'm dead and gone, I want my children to continue right on in the faith. I want them to raise up their children in the faith. Isn't that an exciting thing? Huh? To know after I'm dead and gone, my children will still be in here praising the name of Jesus. And they'll have their kids in here praising Jesus. And I might not be on the scene, right? But I'm going to model the expected behavior before them. So that after I'm dead and gone,
They could say, my mama did it. I got to keep on right with it. Huh? Isn't that a beautiful thing? That'd be a beautiful thing for your grandson to one day, it'd be a nice thing. It'd be sweet to see your grandson stand right where I'm at, preaching Jesus. I'll have another little person come up to him and saying, is that Jesus? And him tell him, no,
hallelujah,
I'm not Jesus.
Yeah.
I'm just preaching Jesus.
Jesus,
right.
Jesus.
Huh?
Right.
And telling other people, call on his name.
Right.
Call on
that's
the name of Jesus.
Right.
And have it in his mind.
Uh-huh.
I can remember the day that my grandfather was over there
that's
calling
right.
on the name
Jesus.
Of Jesus.
Right.
And the Lord has
Jesus.
Kept me down through the years.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
Then after you go on and say,
mm-hmm.
where your mother sits,
uh-huh.
his mother could sit.
Right.
Huh? Isn't that something? And not only he preaching his own children to be sitting right there in the seat. That's how Jesus works. That's how you ought to keep that singleness of mind, right? You want this thing to pass on to the next. I don't want to make decisions nor encourage behaviors that are going to try to create an alternative route. No. I'm going to tell my children to stick with Jesus. Stay right here in the church. Huh? Say, oh, this guy, oh, your son got a scholarship to a full scholarship to a school in California. We got to deny that.
Amen.
We got to deny that. I don't know what's out there in California.
Amen.
I only know what's out here. Were you going to tell him, no, that he should go to the community college out here when he can go to a full year? Yep, I surely am. I surely am, and we're going to go in that community college in Jesus' name. Huh? We're going to go in there in Jesus' name. I know he'll be in here in prayer calling on Jesus. I didn't got to wonder what he's going to be doing out there in California. I know I'll be training him up in the way that he should go while he is right here. I ain't going to send him to go kill himself. What kind of sense is that? How could I say I love my child when I do that? I'm trying to create an alternative route. When the Lord, the designer of the road, only told me that there's two. There's a broad way and there's a narrow way. And you make up your mind what road you want to be on. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Jesus is going to be first in my house. Right? My children will tell you, if they don't want to follow Jesus, they got the front door. Beautiful thing is they got a front door and a back door. They can choose whichever door they want to go in now. Right? You say, Elder Scudder, you ought not to put. I didn't put them out. They put themselves out. Why? Because I choose to serve the Lord. Right? That's right. I ain't going to let them go do anything in my house. Act any old kind of way. I need them to correct. When they have little sinners come over, I need them to correct them. We don't do that in here. Oh, your mom and dad, they not mean. They just believe in serving the Lord Jesus. They seem like they're keeping you from so much. No, they're not keeping me from nothing but death. They tell me not to do this and do that because they love me and they don't want me to die. Huh? Amen. They don't want me to die. I'm not going to encourage them to do things that are going to kill them. Well, their mom and their dad let them do it. Well, they don't. Their mom and their dad don't know Jesus. If they knew Jesus, they'd be telling them the same things that I'm telling you. How you know? Because Jesus don't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Does that make sense, saints? That makes sense. All right. Trust y'all got something out the word. Let's get on one accord, saints. It takes work. I know it. It's a little challenging. I'm not going to say it's impossible because the Lord did it with 120. Huh? It was 120 people on the day of Pentecost. Huh? So it can be done. We struggle with our little bit, but yeah, we got to focus. We got to fight. We got to ask the Lord to remove that divisive spirit. Yeah, we got to ask the Lord to remove it. We can't cater to it. So I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. I ain't got no time to be thinking about your feelings. I'm telling you right now, you go to hell, you're going to have a whole lot of feelings. You're going to have a whole lot of unattended feelings. Because won't nobody be there to wipe your tears. Nobody be there to soothe your pain. You're just going to have to deal with it. But now is the time where you can get all of those things addressed. Huh? Lord can turn your sorrow into joy. Huh? Holy Ghost will do that for you. How many of you sought the Lord with a sorrowful heart? And then when the Holy Ghost came in, he gave you joy. Unspeakable. Huh? That's the power of the Holy Ghost. So the Lord can change all of that. If you move yourself out the way and let him do it. Say, I don't feel love. Well, Scott, I just want to feel love. Well, move that unloved feeling out of the way. I'm telling you, when you get the Holy Ghost, you're going to feel real loved. Jesus is going to love you like you've never been loved before. That's the true sense. You just got to learn how to do what? Move yourself out of the way, all right? Trust you got something out the word. Hide the word in your heart. You may not sin.